Are you ready to unlock the true potential within your organization? Meet Sam Goodman. Passion, purpose, intensity. He's an igniter, a catalyst for change. He helps organizations like yours bring pop to life. Sam's passion is contagious. His energy is infectious. He'll challenge your assumptions, spark your curiosity, and empower your people to achieve extraordinary results. Sam Goodman, he's not just talking about change. He can help you make it happen.
Visit thehopnerd.com to see how Sam can help or email us at thehopnerd@gmail.com to secure Sam for your next keynote, workshop, event, or more.
Well, today's episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I want to talk a bit more about golden rules. I went on a side rant as part of the main rant last week talking about silence and all that stuff, but let's talk more about golden rules. Here we go. Welcome to another episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. I am your host, Sam Goodman, the Hop Nerd LLC. Make sure you head over to the website, www.thehopnerd.com, for fundamentals, learning teams, support, and so much more. Send us an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com, and be sure to follow along with us on all things social media at thehopnerd or at Sam Goodman. Welcome to today's episode. Wait, I've got to change this. Birthday. It's your birthday. It's, they ask me what I do and what I do it for, how I come up with the shit in the studio. All I want for my birthday is for me and you to talk about human and organizational performance. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. I'm kind of excited. We just got through Thanksgiving. My birthday fell on Thanksgiving this year, so I'm pumped. I'm pumped, y'all. We had a flipping, a freaking, an effing, awesome, and amazing weekend. Shout out to my amazing husband and daughter, to Jarrell and to Avery Mae Goodman, for surprising me with a whole bunch of birthday stuff. It's weird. It's weird when your birthday falls on Thanksgiving, because all you get for your birthday is a crappy pumpkin pie from Costco. All you get for your birthday is some dry ass turkey from Sam's Club. Yeah, and so they decided, they told me several times. And listen, I'm not griping. It's cool because a lot of people come over, you know, when you're a kid, all your family's there. Everybody's already there. It's two birds, one stone. But you do kind of get overshadowed by the big turkey day, right? So every so often, however that plays out, however, whatever years that takes for that to happen, my birthday being on the 28th occasionally falls on Thanksgiving. And they told me several times, multiple times, that today is not your birthday. And I'm like, but it kind of sort of is. They're like, but it's not your birthday. Today is not your birthday. Today is Thanksgiving. Your birthday is not until Saturday. And so they surprised me with a whole bunch of cool birthday stuff. We went and spent time just kind of putting around the mall, just looking at stuff, having fun. We went over to Candytopia, which if you don't know what Candytopia is, you just got to Google it. It's basically these art installations that they put in, and they do it all over the world, I'm sure. I know they do it at least here all over the United States, but I'm thinking it's all over the world. And it's all the art is, most of it's interactive, which is kind of cool. They have pigs that fart confetti. You can make confetti snow angels. You get on those cool selfie things that you see at like all the hip conferences nowadays, where you stand on it and it spins you around in circles and you take selfies, you know, and they have all that kind of different stuff there. But all the art is made out of candy. And so they surprised me with that. It was in the Scottsdale Fashion Square Mall, the bougie mall, the fancy pants mall, where the famous people mall. I bumped into Alice Cooper there one time. Believe that or not, side rant, weave, right? Not that long ago, it's been maybe a year, we're just walking through and there's Alice Cooper. I just bumped into Alice Cooper and I don't know what to say. Like, it's freaking Alice Cooper, who is a Phoenix staple. He's our pride and joy of the Phoenix area. He is known for his charity, for his niceness, for just being the all-around badass that he is. And I'm just like, Alice Cooper. And he's like, yeah. I'm like, what are you, like, I'm nervous. What are you doing here? And he's like, I'm buying shirts. Nice to meet you. And then that was that. That was my interaction with one of the rock and roll gods, one of the goats of rock and roll gods of all time was, behind some shirts. A little cold brew going in there. But yeah, we went there. The Candytopia thing was there. They surprised me with that. They surprised me with going here and there and cruising around. I almost forgot one of my favorite things. We actually went to two malls, and it was for good reason. We went to a mall in Tempe, Arizona, to go to Tilt, which is an arcade. Many of you probably know Tilt, and Tilt is badass. They've got all the modern arcade games. I love playing some arcade video games, which is strange because I really don't care for like Xbox, PlayStation, stuff like that. It's still not my thing. Not into PC gaming, but you turn me loose in an arcade. Oh, yeah. The whole top floor, like half the top floor is just vintage classic pinball, which is a hoot. The other side of that is just vintage classic stuff that most of us, me and you, probably grew up with. You know, those old school arcade games. They've got all those, which are still just badass. I mean, all the from older kind of video arcade stuff up to more modern stuff. Like, and when I say modern, probably like 94, 95, right? Like Silent Scope and like all the, and all the racing games and all the old NASCAR games to all the fancy pants, new stuff and VR stuff. And it's just a blast. It ends up with me just treating it like a casino. And what I mean by that is I go around just trying to win as many freaking tickets as I possibly can because I want Avery to get like the most badass stuff out of the ticket store. We're the people that roll up there and they're like, you have 14.2 million tickets. You must have spent $1,000 here. Look, dad mode. I go into full blown dad mode in those places. I'm like, you're going to get the biggest freaking thing that they have. So what I'm saying is it was an absolute hoot. Shamelessly tooting my own birthday horn here. Happy birthday to freaking me. Another year around the sun. It's been a cool year. There's been a lot of stuff happening here. You know, man, doing this thing on your own is wild and crazy. There are moments of sheer terror. And what I mean by this thing is this business, the hop stuff, following something that you're passionate about, chasing it with all your blood and guts and half the time spilling your blood and your guts all over the pavement trying to make this thing happen. It's been a hell of a year. A lot of great, a lot of not great, but all awesome and all absolutely a ton of fun. And thank you for being a part of that. Thank you for being a part of this podcast. Thank you to all the amazing clients who are really friends that have asked me to come out and help with keynotes and workshops and consulting and sometimes just being that trusted advisor, you know, just bringing me in and helping me guide you and your organization and us working together on figuring out how we can make this stuff create amazing amounts of success within your organizations, helping you learn more than you've ever learned before. That's not a me thing. That's not a you thing. That's a we thing that we do together. And if you need a little bit of help, you know, I got to put it in here. What did you think about that little plug at the beginning? That was pretty cool. I put that in there so I don't have to say it as much as we go. But if you do need a little bit of help, get in touch, thehopnerd@gmail.com. I've got a little bit of dates throughout the remainder of this year. And then we're going to be living in the year 2025 Q1 is already stacking up with some dates. Nothing too wild and crazy. I've got some flexibility, just like the end of this year. So if you need a hand, thehopnerd@gmail.com, or you can learn more at thehopnerd.com. The other thing that I need to tell you about, a couple things. Let me roll through the list here with cold brew in between. Oh, I'm amped up on caffeine and pumped that I'm getting old. But the next thing I need to tell you about, probably the most important thing that I need to tell you about, is Avery is at it again. If you have not seen the video, it's over on my LinkedIn. It's over on YouTube. It's over on Instagram. I post it pretty much everywhere, and I'm going to keep posting it over and over and over until we get done with this thing. But Avery's at it again, and Avery's at it again in a really, really, really cool way. Many years ago, she designed a Christmas t-shirt, and we sold that. And we sold that with the entire goal of donating the money to kids. And that's exactly what we did. It went pretty good. This year, she wants to do it again. So she designed a new Christmas t-shirt. It's really, really, really badass. It's basically a Christmas unicorn. You just got to go check it out. TheHopNerd.com/shop. Anything that we make off that as far as profits, right? The profits that we make off of that, Avery's going to take that money and she's going to go down and she's going to buy toys and she's going to donate them to kids in need. I don't know if we're going to dump those in the Toys for Tots thing, if she's going to go hand those out on her own, and we don't know exactly what that looks like, but that's where all the profit from that t-shirt is going to go. So if you're looking for a cool Christmas morning t-shirt, if you're looking for that t-shirt for that next Christmas party, if you're looking at like what we're going to do is we're doing a matching pajama day. Not my idea. I'm not a pajama person. I'm just not my style. That's what we're doing. So we're getting matching pajama pants and we're all getting the t-shirt and we're going to rock it. If you're looking for that t-shirt and you really think it's cool to support a kid helping other kids get presents on Christmas, kids that might not get anything for Christmas, which is absolute garbage. That is garbage. And that's the world, unfortunately. And not to get into too much of a side rant, I'll just say this. Every kid deserves something for Christmas. Absolutely. And if Avery's making that happen or doing a small part to try to help make every kid get something for Christmas, I'm here for it, y'all. And I think you are, too. That's why I'm sharing it with you. So go over, pick up a t-shirt. We've tried to price them as reasonably as possible to allow everyone an opportunity to participate in this. You get a badass t-shirt. Avery gets some funding to go out and support kids in need. It's a win-win-win-win-win all the way around. It's a winner-winner chicken dinner for everybody involved. So again, thehopnerd.com/shop. This is her idea. It's her design. It's her t-shirt. She has complete creative control over it. It's going to be cool. So make sure you check that out. The last update that I give you, I was just sitting here going back and forth with app developers. As you know, I'm like in the deep, deep, dark hole of figuring out how to get this stinking Starting Points app launched. I would have given it up long ago if I didn't realize how amazing it's going to be. And I would have given it up long ago if many of you have not been there going, get it out. We need it. We need it. It's coming. I got word that we submitted it. It looks like it's getting ready to go live in Google pretty soon. Fingers crossed. I don't want to jinx this. Knock on wood. I'm surprised the dogs aren't howling when I do that. And we just resubmitted to Apple again. So hopefully, Apple friends, if anybody out there, let me know. Like, what are we doing wrong? We're getting it there. It looks like it's coming out really, 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 really soon. Last but not least, follow along wherever you can. Like, share, subscribe, comment. All that stuff helps a ton. Make sure you're following along over on YouTube. Going to be working on some more videos here pretty soon. I know I owe you. I've got to get them up over on the website so you can download them, use them in your presentations, use them in your organization. That's why I put them there. Take them, use them, put them to good use. That's the only rule. Other than that, I think that's all I've got. Oh, go buy the books. Go buy the cards, startingpointcards.com, or just go to the website. It'll take you over to them. The books available on Amazon, or just go to the website. You can click on stuff. It'll take you to all the books. They make great Christmas presents. We also launched gift cards over there on the website. We've got a ton of new merch, ton of stuff like that. So if you've got folks that are going, hey, I don't know what I want, but I know you're a bit of a hop nerd. It's a great gift. It's a great gift to share with your employees. It's a great gift to share with your friends. Or if your friends really, really hate me and you guys are kind of enemies or frenemies, it's a great gift to give them because they're like, oh, God, why this? But with all that said, let's jump right on into today's episode, talking more about golden rules. I got a feeling I'm going to rant. I don't know. Let's see where it goes. But here we go. More on golden rules. Well, hopefully you're not in too much of a post-turkey dressing gravy coma, at least for my American friends and for my friends abroad all over the world. If you're not celebrating Thanksgiving, even if you have nothing to do with it, you should at least use it as an excuse to absolutely stuff your face. I mean, that's the primary reason why we do it. I know it's togetherness and being thankful, but we always look for a good excuse to eat. Now, I'm going to tell you that, in my house, we don't do the turkey thing. We don't do the traditional thing every now and again. This year, we made a bit of shepherd's pie, and I made my world famous meatloaf, and I had some friends that brought some ham and some rolls, and we made mashed potatoes and a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Avery's prized recipe for sausage balls and all the other kind of cool grub that we had. But no matter what you ate, hopefully you ate it with some cool people. Hopefully you got to spend some amazing time with family, friends, loved ones. And again, hopefully you are not still in too much of a daze from the food, or maybe a post-Thanksgiving hangover. We use that as an excuse to overly consume many things. Food being one of those, alcohol probably being the number one of those things that we do around Thanksgiving. But with all that, let's just jump right on in. You know, last week, I spent some time talking about silence and some understanding some core truths around silence. And by understanding some of those basic truths around silence, how it helps us overcome silence and some of the goal with human and organizational performance. To me, the real goal with leading through this operating philosophy of human and organizational performance is helping us to create dialogue, to overcome silence within an organization. It's really helping us to know more as organizations, to tap into operational intelligence. intelligence, this greater amount of information that we would have likely never heard before with maybe some of our more dated operating philosophies, things that would driven information, reporting, conversation, dialogue underground, how leading through this thing that we call human and organizational performance, really living up to this operating philosophy, helps us create an environment in which we get to know more. Really, what I'm saying is we create an environment in which operational learning and improvement is possible. All right. And the more that we get good at that, the more that we get good at leading with that operating philosophy, with that, through that operating philosophy, through those five core principles of human and organization performance, the more that we prove it to people, that we mean it, because we owe it to them. We have to prove it to people. We can't just say stuff and then not do it. Like, we have to prove it to them. The more and more that we get stinking great at that, the more and more that that operational learning and improvement goes from being possible to being likely. All right. That's where we want to be. We're never going to know everything. I mean, that's just a fact. If you think that you can just demand that people tell you stuff and, you know, make it a rule that says if they don't tell you stuff, they're going to get in trouble, that they're going to be blamed, shamed, retrained, probably fired. And that if you just operate with that idea that, yeah, I wrote a rule and so people have to tell me stuff so I know all, that doesn't happen. You're fooling yourself. Yeah, absolutely. 110% false. Yeah. Even when you get stinking great at it, you're never going to know everything, right? We rely on people to sort some of that information, no matter how much we pretend that we don't. All right. We pretend that we don't. We say, no, the rule says report everything. If you even have a paper cut, we expect you to report it. If you even nearly trip over your own feet, we expect you to report it. Do you really want that? Our systems would be overwhelmed. They would burn down if people reported every single little tiny near thing that happened to them. No, we don't want that either. We want people to tell us stuff. We want people to have the ability to tell us stuff, to know that they can tell us the truth, that we want them to tell us the truth, that we expect them to tell us the truth, the good, the bad, the ugly, the scary, the weird, the strange, everything in between. But we also expect them to sort and prioritize. Of course we do. That's a rant for another day, really. But where we're going is towards this idea, something that we mentioned last week, and it's something that I say over and over and over on repeat and have said it for years and firmly believe it deep, deep, deep down in my soul. And I hope that you believe it too. Anything that creates silence within our organizations is bad for us. It's bad for us. What I'm telling you is anything that puts people in this position of negotiating between, do I tell them or do I don't tell them? Do I tell them or do I not tell them? There we go. Do I not tell them? And I don't mean between, oh, it's just a paper cut. Do I need to say something about this? Back to some of our conversation just a few seconds ago. I mean, if I tell them this, it's going to be bad. It's going to be real bad. Okay, this is too big to hide, so I guess I have to tell them. You want that negotiation to be easy as freaking possible. Nope, I know them. I'm going to tell them because I know we're going to do something positive with it. That's really what you're looking for. I'm going to tell them because they know that I'm a good person. They know that I'm operating with good intent. They know that I care a stinking ton. None of that is going to get called into question when I bring this up. What we're going to call into question is how we learn and improve. That's what we're going to work on, is how do we make this better? How do we make this better for all of us? How do we seek restoration? How do we leave things better than how? That's where you want people's brains to go. And you have to create that environment. So back to this idea that anything that creates silence is bad for us. It's bad for us as leaders because it deprives us of the information that we need to be effective leaders, to even be baseline effective leaders, because without that information, we're guessing. The more information that we have, the better leaders we can be. It deprives us of the vital information that we need, the vital operational intelligence that we require to be good leaders, to make sound operational decisions. It's bad for our organizations overall because we're creating that environment where we just become stagnant. Like we're not learning anything. Only thing that we're hearing about are the things that we absolutely have to hear about because they're too big to hide. We cannot learn and improve. We're stuck. We're stuck in this hamster wheel of mediocrity, right? Where, yep, something bad happens. We blame, shame, and retrain. So obviously we know less. It brings to mind that thing that we also know as the fear loop or the blame cycle. You know that thing. If you don't, Google it. It creates some of that, and we know less and less and less and less and less over time. So problems fester, they grow, they get worse, and then bad things happen. It's bad for us as organizations. It's bad for our employees. Think about that for a second. Like, I hurt myself doing work for you. I got hurt. And I didn't just go out and just say, like, I'm going to hurt myself today. Like, that never happens. Like, rarely, if ever. Does that happen. I found myself at the end of a long line of organizational issues, problems, weaknesses, brittleness, error inviting situations. The list can go on for miles. I found myself at the end of that long line of problems. I ended up being the last person that touched it. And now I got hurt trying to get this work done for you. A work that I almost always do successfully. I think I might add that I bend over backwards to make sure that it goes right. I think that I need to add. And now I'm hurt. And now I'm sitting there going, what do I do? Do I report this? Nope, I can't report this. Okay, it's small enough. I'm going to get out of here. Listen, I'm going to take some strategic PTO. A kid's got a dance recital. I got to go. And I'm sitting there all by my lonesome at some shit clinic getting sutures, paying out of my own pocket because you created an environment where I can't tell you the truth. That's brutal. That's sick. That's awful. It's bad for our employees. And ultimately, it's bad in many, many other ways than I'm describing. We can continue, right? just some examples here. But ultimately, it's bad for our businesses. Because without dialogue, innovation dies. Without my ability to tell you that you're full of crap or for you to tell me that I'm full of crap, for us to have meaningful conversations, and I don't mean everything's great and sunshine and rainbows. I mean, I don't think this product's working. How do we turn this around? I think we need to tear that down. I know you invested a lot into that, but that just doesn't work. We've got problems over here. Listen, this thing's getting ready to catch on fire. We can't innovate. Not only can we not learn and improve, so we're not even maintaining, we're degrading. We're getting worse because of silence. We can't even maintain that kind of general operational something or other, but we're getting to that point to where we can't go to the next step because that requires voice. That requires dialogue. That requires real deal, raw and real conversations, not only to maintain, not only to get a little bit better over time through learning and improving, but to innovate and do more badass things. We can't do that without dialogue. Silence is bad for us. It's bad for us, period. And on to our kind of main subject here today of golden rules. Golden rules create silence. Yeah. Now, I know. I'm going to hear it. I'm going to hear that. But you've just never seen golden rules done correctly. But if people would violate our most sacred scriptures, then they don't deserve to work here. And if you just don't understand that rules save lives. Not really, but they do. Rules save lives. Don't you know that if people just followed the rules, everything would be well? Yeah, I know. I'm going to hear all the screeching from the internet about how if we just followed some magic words you wrote on paper, that the world would stop being the world. You know, in my world, we get accused of having wishful thinking, of being too warm and fuzzy, taking too good care of people. I think it's kind of what many people are saying, that our employees deserve to get beat. But really, like learning and improving, making things better, operating under the assumption that things are going to go wrong, that we need to plan for things to go wrong, that we need to minimize the result of failure and understand because failure is going to happen and on and on and on and on, failing a bit safer, creating that bit of margin, all that stuff. All that for some reason with human and organizational performance gets accused of being wishful thinking. But in a more traditional lens, writing rules and just telling people to follow the rules or else, because just following magic words on paper, that's not wishful thinking. That's not just neglecting the complexity of the world. That's not just ignoring that's not how that works. That's wishful thinking, like textbook wishful thinking. And if you haven't heard this, I know you have probably if you're listening to me, but I'll share with you some wisdom that was imparted upon me by my father many, many, many moons ago. My amazing dad, Harold Linkus Goodman, spent many, many years working throughout the trades, all throughout the world. That's wishful thinking. Shit in one hand and wish in the other and see which one fills up faster. I think that wishful thinking, it feels good. The wishful thinking that we build around golden rules feels good. It smells good. It tastes good. It's also simple and it's also clean. that if those pesky employees just did as we told them to do, because we know best, we know how simple the world actually is, it's just following the rules, then all would be well. And we just know that's not true. That's just not true. You might as well just shit in your hand. Yeah, you might as well just throw shit in your hand. At least you get something out of it, I guess. That's not quite how it works. It's not quite how it works. Pausing my ranting, I think, for just a minute, because that went into a couple different directions. Let's go maybe towards how this actually plays out. Let's deconstruct this a little bit, or unpack this. Let's put a little meat on that bone. We start with this assumption, a couple assumptions, really, that people are dumb and they need to be told what to do. That's kind of first. And I know these are broad strokes, so don't yell at me in on the internet, please. But that's kind of where we start at. Our employees are children, and we are the parents. We know best. We also have these things out there that we know are known killers. And I'm also going to pause here and say that I think all of this, most of this, is done with the best of intent. So excuse my absurdity, but it's not all that absurd. It's really where we go with this stuff. I think this is done with a good intent. Okay, back to the main conversation. We start with this assumption that our employees are children and must be told what to do at every turn. But even with our children, our actual children, they don't need to be told what to do at every turn. In fact, they figure it out, and they do a pretty damn good job of it, and we support them in figuring it out. A conversation, again, for another day. But we take these things, these known killers in our world, the things that we know must go right, things usually that sound like confined space, lockout, tagout, energized electrical stuff, material control exclusion zone, barrier tape kind of something, right? Like you go in here and you would walk through that red tape, the stuff that says danger, danger, this will kill you and hurt the entire time that is killing you type of stuff. That's bad. We need golden rule around that. We need golden rule around fall protection. We need golden rule around this or that. You know where I'm going. There's always a magic number of them. They're all kind of the same, and there are always a couple that are more unique to maybe your organization, your scope of work, whatever that looks like. So we start with this assumption that our employees are kind of kids, and we need to tell them what to do, really what not to do or else. And then we couple that with this assumption that work is actually really simple, that it's so simple that the only thing that you have to do is follow the basic rules that we give you and nothing bad will happen. Just follow those things. So we've constructed those golden rules built on those assumptions. Employees are kind of like kids, need to be told what to do, really what not to do or else. And that if you just follow the rules, then nothing bad will happen. So what we're going to do is we've constructed this list of golden rules, 8 or 9 or 10 or 6 or 5 of them, whatever they are. And then we're going to put really, really harsh penalties on the other side of these rules. So if you kind of bend them, if you kind of break them, if you get them way wrong, it doesn't matter. We couple this with a zero tolerance policy that says something like this: there's no gray, it's black or white. Either you got it 100% right or you got it 100% wrong. For your sake, for your income's sake, which means for your family's sake, for your children's sake, for your career's sake, you better hope that you get them 100% right and always. Well, I'm here to tell you first that no one gets everything 100% right 100% of the time. And if you were depending on your employees to get something 100% right 100% of the time to avoid really, really, really gnarly, nasty, bad outcomes, you are setting yourself up for really bad days, and a lot of them. Yeah, because they're going to get it wrong. They're going to get it wrong. But we know that better question. Failure is not an if, it's a when. When things go wrong, how do we make sure that things can still go pretty right? That live to work another day thing. Yeah, that broken arm or scratch versus dead kind of conversation. Yeah, so there's that whole side to this too. But where I'm really going, what I really see, especially bringing this back to this idea of silence, is we've created this list of golden rules. And really what that list is, that is the list of known killers within our organization. At least the biggest, brightest known killers. Like falling, yeah, getting crushed to death, getting electrocuted to death. These are the unforgiving few. Yeah, confined space, and on. It is a list of the things that we know kill and maim our employees with a lot of certainty if you get too deep into them. Kill and maim people. Maim on a lucky day. Those kind of things. And then we've coupled that with this zero tolerance policy. We've coupled it with the stick. If you get this even slightly wrong, it's bad for you. Hey, you're not going to have a good day. In fact, you're going to get fired. Yeah. So you better get them all the way right. And the output of that isn't people getting it all the way right. The output of that isn't people religiously following your rules. The output of that is what it's always been with pretty much everything else. It's people figuring it out on the fly, trying their best to live up to those high standards, and they almost always do, but they occasionally get it wrong. Here's where the bigger problem is. When they get it wrong, because you have such a strict, rigid zero-tolerance policy, this list of magical things, what that list truly becomes isn't a list of things thou shalt be in compliance with. What that list truly becomes isn't a list of these are the things that we always do. What that list really becomes is a list of things that I'm going to tell you the absolute least about. That should scare the crap out of you. Yeah, because it scares me just saying it. It scared me living in organizations that demanded that we have those kind of lists, those golden rule things. Because if things go wrong, I'm figuring it out and things are going well. And oops, I got into this confined space and the permit was kind of wrong. Everything's fine. I'm thrust into that negotiation that we spent the beginning of this episode talking a little bit about and a whole bunch of the last episode talking about of going to report or not to report. And the answer in that world is to not report. Meaning you get to know less about the things that kill your employees. You get to know less until all of a sudden you get to know everything about it. You get silence until all of a sudden you've got a dead employee. You get all the information all at once, which is not where you want to discover that information. Anything that creates silence is bad for us. Golden rules create silence. They create silence. We've seen this play out time and time and time and time again. We need to go back to that assumption around our employees. You don't just have people out there willy-nilly going, screw your golden rules. I love touching energized electrical stuff. You don't just have people out there going, screw your rules. I'm just going to go hang out in this confined space for the hell of it. That's not how this stuff happens. Rarely, if ever. Okay. What really happens is, oops, I found myself inside of this thing and the lockout tagout was wrong and the confined space permit was kind of weird and I did something wrong. Oops. That moment, as we've described, as all the blood draining from their head to their toes, that moment of sheer terror where you realize you have violated the golden rule. And because I violated it, I can't tell you about it. We can't learn about it. We can't make it easier for that work to go well. Those problems, those issues that led to that point of me getting it wrong, they continue, they grow, they fester. And eventually, they'll kill one of us. Yeah. Anything that creates silence is bad for us. Golden rules included. Your safety commandments included. I can go on and on and on and on about this because it really frustrates me. It really does. Because we need to know more about those things, not less. We're taking a list of things that kills and maims our people, our coworkers, our friends. And by being so religious and zealous about the blame and punishment side of that for not following the rules to perfection, this desire to beat people, we're creating this place where they have to hide information from us just for basic self-preservation's sake. That's a bad environment to work in. That's a horrible environment to work in. But not only that, that's the type of environment that kills people and kills people with some frequency. That's the kind of environment that we wake up one day to a few dead employees going, well, how did we get here? We had those magic golden rules. And we had a rule that said people have to tell us about stuff. Oh, they didn't tell us. See, it's all their fault. Bullshit. Bullshit. Let me say that one more time. Bullshit. It's frustrating. And so I could go on. And I could go on. And I could go on and on and on, but I'm not. What I want to tell you is this. Stop. Yeah. Sometimes I think people need to hear this, that everything that has been created within our work worlds, within our worlds, other than natural things, were shaped and crafted by human hands. And they can be changed. And they can be undone. And the world's not going to burn down tomorrow if you remove your golden rules. At least if you remove them from this weird list of things that just automatically get you fired. Like, because what you're saying is, I don't care that we learn here. I just want to hit you. I just want to hit you if you get them wrong. That's bad. Another piece of that is if you've got 6 or 8 or 10 that are super duper magical that you feel like you need to call out because for whatever reason, they're dangerous, they're this, they're that, or the other, you probably have too many rules to begin with. If you've got like 1,700 rules that no one cares about all the rest of the rules, and because you got to highlight just a few to show that these are the really important ones, yeah, you got to follow all of them, but these are the... You got too many rules. I think that's probably some of this rant too, but maybe a rant for another day. Again, trying to do better on my weave and stay a bit more on track here. But just stop. You can stop. You can change. You can undo. You can improve. I'll give you a good example of how we did some of this internal to the organization that I worked for a long time. We loved these things, man. I mean, we absolutely stinking loved these things. They were like the best thing ever. We liked them a lot. What I mean by we liked them a lot is the farther we got away from work, the farther we got towards the blunt end of our organization, the more and more that we thought these things were super duper useful, as we tend to see with a lot of kind of safety crap. Yeah, it's like, oh, it's just so simple. It's just so simple. From way up here on, you know, the 20th floor in my fancy slacks and my fancy shoes and in my fancy conference room, it all seems so simple. And I'm not picking on those folks. The folks in my organization were amazing. I'm serious. Kick ass executives. I don't want to say that's rare, but sometimes that's kind of rare. They were cool. They were cool enough to get it. They were cool enough to come around and go, you know what? I think we are getting this one wrong. And now it took a lot of time. But what we did was this. Tactical pro tip something. Okay, something you can actually do. We weren't in a position to be able to immediately get rid of our golden rules. No, we just weren't. There was too many people in the organization that were too heavily invested in these things. I just liked them, loved them, had to have more of them. The first thing that we did, step one, is we removed the zero tolerance policy. You can do that. You can take out the zero tolerance policy and still call out those things as being super duper important and still call out those things as being, hey, we expect that you live up to these standards around these things. You can remove that zero tolerance policy. You can remove the, I don't care who it is. If I ever see you doing anything even slightly wrong around that thing, then I'll march you out the gate myself. You can remove that and you can replace it with, if things are going wrong around our golden rules, we need to understand more. Let's start with learning. Let's start with understanding. Let's start with, if I see you not wearing a harness, that's probably something we're going to talk about. Yeah, but the conversation isn't going to be, wham, bam, you're gone because you suck and you didn't follow my magic 10 commandments of safety. It's not going to be that. It's going to be, it might start. I'm just thinking back to old conversations. It might start with, what the hell, bro? Come here. Of course it might start there, but it'll be quickly followed with, what's going on? And because what you're usually going to find is, we don't have any harnesses. And what you're going to find is, this is critical work, and I don't have a skyhook, and there's a ton of pressure, and I got pushed up into doing this, and you're going to find a million reasons. Because people usually don't just walk out into the face of death just for shits and giggles. Again, back to things that never happen that we think happens a lot in our work worlds. We'll call those cowboys. They're cowboys. They just stare death in the... No, that stuff actually almost never happens. We like to think that it does because it gives us a good excuse to beat people, but it almost never happens. Yeah, there's always a good reason. Almost always a good reason is what I'm telling you. It made sense. I heard this quote from the Toddster, the awesome, amazing, cool, super-duper cool Todd Conklin. I can't even remember when, but it's just this quote of, there's a big difference between making bad choices and only having bad choices to choose from. If I see you making what I think in my mind might be bad choices, I don't want to just judge you for making bad choices. I want to understand what choices you actually had to choose from, because almost always I find almost always good people doing good work in their organizations with good intent, creating mostly good outcomes. We're dealing with adults and amazingly awesome professionals within our work worlds, almost all of them. What I almost always find is that people had a shit list of choices to choose from. Give people better choices. Make it easy. We find that almost always in those situations, even if it's around our most sacred, amazing golden rules that save lives, that people had shit choices. Not that they were making them. They just had bad ones to choose from, and they were choosing the best choice that they had on the list of shit. Start there. You can remove that zero tolerance policy, and you can do it like right now. You can do that. I've seen other organizations as they started down this path even keep the zero tolerance policy, but they required, and I'm not saying this is the best, but it was a step, right? Think steps. You might not just be able to gut it tomorrow. I'm just giving you options, giving you steps to start moving in a bit of a better direction with some of this stuff. It had to go all the way up to like their chief executive badass person in charge, who was very much in tune with what we're talking about, going, if you think you're going to fire somebody for a rule, you have to explain it to me and make it make sense to me. I have to understand that you have looked at every option. I have to understand that you understand the context. I have to understand that you understand the true choices that they had to choose from, because it is never so simple. It is never so simple that it's just somebody out there going, I'm going to go kick the Grim Reaper. Nope. And guess what happened? They got way better at it. And guess what happened next? They eventually got rid of the zero tolerance policy around the thing. And guess what happened next? They eventually got rid of golden rules altogether. And guess what happened next? They learned more than they had ever learned before around the things that actually kill their employees. Because golden rules, as applied, create silence. Back to maybe some of how we did this in our organization. We discovered that they were creating silence. We did a whole bunch of field work, and what I mean by field work, conversations. We spent a whole bunch of time talking to employees, and that was the one that's like, listen, if something happens around confined space, I'm not opening my mouth. I'm just not going to tell you. If something happens around lockout tagout, I'm just not telling you unless I absolutely have to. And then I'm going to manage that information to a point to where you can't kill us, because if the electricity doesn't kill me, you're going to when you find out that we had to bend the rules to get this done. Right? So they just told us less. We knew that. We understood that. So we knew something had to change. So again, we immediately removed the zero tolerance policy. We kept the rules in place because there was a lot of people that wanted to see those rules kept in place. I don't think the rules are good or bad. I think the way that we apply them, when we start pouring a whole bunch of blame and shame on them, and when we go down that zero tolerance, 100% right or else type of thing, we create silence. And that is horrible for us. That just scared the absolute shit out of us. And we did. It did. The silence thing startled us. It absolutely startled us. We knew. What I mean by we are the people kind of tinkering with this stuff. We knew what we were going to hear, or we thought had a good idea of what we were going to hear. And we heard a lot of it, more so than we ever imagined. We didn't think it was that bad. But it was startling for folks in our organization to hear how little people could tell us around those things, especially at the like senior level in our organization, because we had that magic rule that people had to tell us. So why weren't they telling us? It's because we were beating them anytime that they would tell us. Yeah, which tells me not to tell you. To kind of get back to where we were at, though, we acknowledged that. We removed the zero tolerance policy. And this is where we kept them, but we got good with them. We completely recrafted what they meant to us. Instead of calling them our golden rules, instead of saying these are the things that are non-negotiables that you shall follow or else, what we started calling these things were our top 10 areas of learning. Okay, soft and fuzzy. Okay, but what I mean by that is these are the things that we want the most information about. The absolute most, because these are the things that we know kill and maim our employees. We have to know the most about these things. I cannot afford to know less about confined spaces. I cannot afford to know less about lockout tagout. I especially can't afford to know less when it's going wrong. I cannot afford to know less about where the pain points are. I cannot afford to know less about where we have to break the rules just to get work done. I cannot afford to know less. Anything that makes me know less, we're not doing anymore. Zero tolerance, the blame, shame, retrain, the oops, I saw you not maintain 100% tie off when you did that transition. Fired. We got rid of that. And we learned more than we ever did before. What we discovered, back to those choices, the people had a lot of shit choices to choose from. Our focus was making it easier. So we carved out that list of things. Delicious cold brew. We carved out that list of things. We kept them. We said, these are our critical risk areas. meaning that these are the areas that we need to have the most information about. Our goal around these things is not to blame, shame, and retrain to fire to shit can. Our goal is to learn more. How do we learn more? We remove the zero tolerance. We focus on those things with our learning efforts. We encourage folks to tell us those things. When they tell us that gnarly truth, those things that they don't want to have to tell us and we don't want to have to hear, we're going to focus on how we respond to that. We're not going to shit our pants. We're not going to panic, and we're not going to beat people. We're going to learn, and we're going to improve. And that's where we ended up. We started with golden rules, rules that made it impossible for people to teach us about the things that kill, that made it impossible for people to teach us about how they get maimed at work, that made it impossible for people to tell us the truth about when they nearly died. And what opened was the floodgates of, hey, I almost died over there last Thursday. Let me show you how this goes wrong. Let me show you how we can make it easier. We worked with those nearest to the work based on those areas of critical risk, what used to be our golden rules of blame, shame, and pain. And we carved it out into our focus areas for learning and improving. Again, we couldn't afford to know less, and you can't either. Anything that creates silence in your organization is bad for you. It's bad for your people. It's bad for your organization. It's bad for your business. Stop it. Stop it. And you can. If you can't get rid of them, you can at least make them far more effective. You can remove that blame, shame, retrain element from those things, that zero tolerance policy. You can turn them into focus areas for learning and improving. You can say that list on the wall, it's not to beat you over the head with. I put that on the wall to tell you that those are the things that kill us. And we need to know as much as we can possibly know about those things, because if we don't, they're going to kill us. We can point at that list and say that we have high standards, and we expect you. We expect you to live up to those high standards. But when you can't, we don't want to beat you, blame you, shame you. We don't want to fire you. We want to understand how we can make it easier for you to live up to those high standards. We want to understand how we can make it easier for work to go well. We want to understand how we can make it easier for work to go well even when it goes wrong. But we only get there if we create that environment where people can tell us the truth. Listening, everybody, we greatly appreciate all of your support of the Hot Nerd Podcast, the Hot Nerd LLC. If you need a little bit of help bringing human and organizational performance to life, if you would like to take your efforts around learning and improving to the next level, yep, I can help with that. Head over to www.thehotnerd.com or send me an email, thehotnerd@gmail.com. Until next time, bye, everybody. Bye.